the Foyer with Bill Stevens. Elaine Harris is the author of a new children's book called Ghosts Royal. Well remembered by ArtSound listeners as a popular daytime radio presenter for the ABC, Elaine was for many years a familiar voice on afternoons 666 ABC Radio Canberra. In 1996, together with her husband Chris, Elaine moved to Tasmania, where she continued to broadcast for ABC Radio Tasmania, as well as write short stories and poems for various magazines and publications, and undertake speaking engagements. Her new book, Ghosts Royal, is a fictional account of Abdication Day 1936, the day that changed the life of one 10-year-old princess forever. The story is told through the eyes of that same princess in a unique blend of fact and fiction, which provides a portrait of one day in history from a young girl's point of view. To find out more about Ghosts Royal, I'm delighted to welcome to the foyer Elaine Harris. Elaine Harris, welcome to ArtSound.
Thank you very much indeed. It's a long time since I spoke on ArtSound.
And congratulations on your new book, Ghosts Royal. It's a beautiful little book. Would you share with our listeners what it's about?
It's a different way of looking at Abdication Day 1936. Now, presumably you're more than well aware that on that day, King Edward VIII, as was, later became the Duke of Windsor, wanted, if he could, to keep the throne and marry the love of his life, Mrs. Wallis Simpson, who was then going through divorce proceedings. He was unable to do that, and so in December he signed what was called an instrument of abdication, and the following day that was ratified by Parliament, and he was no longer king. What many people forget, of course, about that day is that not only did he sign away his right to be king, but he also changed the life of a 10-year-old girl who one day, and discovered on that very day, that she would be queen. There was always a proviso, she would only be queen if she didn't have a brother. But in fact, nobody expected that would ever happen, and of course it didn't.
What gave you the idea to write this book about that particular day?
Two main points, I think. It came to being in 2012, the Diamond Jubilee year. And what would you say if I said the first idea was the idea of a life map? Now, I don't know about you, Bill, but when I was 10 years old, I had absolutely no idea about what I wanted to be when I grew up. In fact, even when I graduated from university at the age of 22, I still didn't have a clue. But here we have a 10-year-old girl who on that day discovered what she was going to be, who she was going to be when she grew up. The other side of things came from an interview that my husband Chris heard with a royal commentator on Radio National, I believe it was. I didn't hear it because I was working for another radio station at the time. And it was on the 6th of February in 2012, and they were talking about the anniversary of the Queen's accession 60 years ago. The royal commentator pointed out that, of course, not only was it a great celebration, it was the anniversary of her accession, it was also the anniversary of her beloved father. She was his favourite daughter, she idolised him, and although she knew that one day she would be queen, I don't think either of them had any idea that it would be quite as soon as it was. So those were the two key points, the sort of map idea and, sadly, to put it crudely, dead men's shoes.
And to write the book, you had to imagine yourself in the situation of a 10-year-old girl whose life was mapped out for her to be the queen.
The first thing I had to do was to what author Jackie French and I call visit the aisles of research. In other words, I read and read and read and read and read. And the one thing about research, and especially about royal research, is that no two versions of the life of the Queen are identical. So what you do is you home in on where the truths converge, if you like, and you have a look at the conflicting ideas. For example, some books insist that she calls King George V Grandpapa England. Other books say that, according to Princess Margaret, they were too jolly scared of him to do that. So I decided to leave that out. So first of all, reading, reading, reading for background. And then, yes, I tried to imagine how she would feel on that day. And there's the mixture of, oh, gosh, excitement, wonder, joy. And there's the, oh, no, Papa will have to die. And so that takes away any magic. So there's that conflict from the very beginning, the joy, the destiny, and the fear, and the incipient sadness.
The book has been beautifully illustrated by Natalie Daniel. How did you come across Natalie?
What I did, as far as illustrations were concerned, was advertise in a writer's newsletter. And I had to be honest from the very beginning that this was totally on commission. I couldn't afford to pay from the beginning. And I struck gold. There were only two people who wrote back to me. The first one chose that, well, actually, I really do need paying up front. And then came Natalie, who was interested, was fascinated by the Queen anyway. And so I sent her the initial text, because there was a short story version in 2012, greatly extended 4 years later, or 3 years later, in fact. And she was hopelessly in love with it. And then she'd never heard of me, because she's in the Hunter region of New South Wales. She hadn't the faintest idea who I was. And then she Googled me and said, oh, no, now I know who you are. Now I'm in awe. And I said, no, don't be in awe. And what she did was send ideas for illustrations. And then I filled her in on any background that she needed. Now, I don't know if you noticed, but in the scene in the stables, there's a man grooming a horse. Now, whether Owen, the groom, ever made it to Buckingham Palace Mews and groomed any horses, I don't know. Owen actually taught the princesses to ride out at Royal Lodge, Windsor. Natalie decided she was fascinated by Owen and she definitely wanted him in an illustration. So I said to her, look, we have no proof that he ever worked at the Mews, but by the same token, we have no proof that he didn't. If that's what inspires you, you go for it. She also works on a farm, and her love of animals shines through. The horse illustrations, you could virtually pat them.
My guest is Elaine Harris, author of a new book for children called Ghost Royal. How long has it taken you to put the book together?
I had no idea how complex the whole business was going to be. Because working with Natalie and I has also been a publisher, an online magazine publisher in the US. So it's really been emails whizzing around the world to do all of this. Once we'd got everything right, it then had to be formatted. Now, Natalie loves working in watercolor. And then I think, and I confess I am guessing here a little, she photoshops the work in a program called InDesign, and then it became more complicated than that, because apparently to load it onto Kindle, you have to fiddle around with formatting and font size, where the pictures will fit, and then for the print version for CreateSpace, we had to change things around again because they wanted a blank page at the beginning. I think if I'd had any idea to start with, I might have hidden under my desk on the dog quilt and howled, but it didn't happen. And because there were three of us in it, we kept batting round ideas. The one thing I insisted on, absolutely insisted on, was that the spelling remained English and not American. I'm not a racist, Bill, you know that, but it's a distinctly English story. And so you have to have favourite with the U and marvellous with double L, because that's the sort of story it is. Having said that, though, when we did the proofreading, and Christopher, my husband, and I did that together, we actually noticed the scene where the princess and the nursery maid are walking through Green Park. and I had them carrying a bag of apples to feed to the horses. Natalie's illustration, much more correctly, we thought, showed them carrying a wicker basket, and so we changed the word to basket. On the other hand, Natalie, being Australian, in spite of all the references to coats and scarves and gloves, forgot that December in London is very cold, or can be very cold, and she had them wearing short-sleeved dresses, and so she had to redo the pictures and have them in coats. And what I love about Natalie's work is that she fed off the writing. Sometimes when you're doing a straight picture book, you can't really follow the story without being able to look at the pictures. With this one, you can, but the pictures still enhance the text.
When you were planning the book, were you mindful that this year was the Queen's 90th birthday?
Oh, I wondered. I don't know. I will tell you that we do plan to send an autographed copy. Whether it will be welcome or not, I don't know. And the one reason why I'm not sure is because it mentions their governess, Marion Crawford. Crawford did what Charles and Diana did many, many years before they did it. She broke silence. She wrote a book called The Little Princesses after she left royal service, and she was never forgiven. But some royal commentators say it's not what she did, but it was the fact that she was the first to do it.
And I can remember those books, and they were also magazine articles, and we lapped them up because it gave us a side of the royal family that we hadn't experienced before.
Well, apparently The Little Princesses started off as a series of articles for an American magazine, which is probably what you first saw.
Well, I probably did, because I can remember them. I'm of that vintage that I can remember those.
I think she did quite a lot of other work. The speculation is that it was the idea of her husband, George. Unfortunately, it wasn't a happy marriage, but it was a marriage that was deferred for 5 or 6 years because of the war, and she chose to stay on royal duty rather than go off and get married. But in fact, in the very first place, she was only hired for a month's trial and stayed for about 16 years. And what she wrote was actually harmless. In fact, if anything, it was idealistic. Yeah. But the fact that she had broken silence was why she was never forgiven. However,
You couldn't exclude her from the story and make it believable.
Well, that's exactly what I thought. She was an integral part of the household at the time. And in fact, according to some versions, she was the one, rather than the then new king, who broke the news to the princesses. And she was certainly the one who broke the news to the princesses that they would have to move from the house they loved to Buckingham Palace. So, yes, she was a part of their daily lives, had been by that stage for more than 4 years. So, no, you couldn't write an account and not include her.
Right. Now, all my listeners are going to want to know how they can get their hands on a copy of Ghosts Royal.
What you have to do is log on to Amazon, type in Ghosts Royal, and both the paperback and the Kindle version should now come up. Unfortunately, and even I have to buy it from the US, it's the only way so far, unless, she says, hopefully, one day some kindly publisher picks it up and makes it available in the bookshop. At the moment, it can only be bought online.
Well, I hope the internet is running a buzz. Elaine, congratulations once again. A great achievement. Thank you so much for chatting with ArtSound.
Bless you for your time. It's been an absolute joy.
Elaine Harris. If you'd like more details of Elaine's book, Ghosts Royal, you'll find them on Ghost Royal's Kindle, as well as Amazon Ghost Royal. This is Bill Stevens, looking forward to seeing you in a foyer soon.